Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about Bill Gates and a firm he's closely associated with called TerraPower. TerraPower is a firm that's getting ready to build a nuclear power plant in Wyoming. My guess is that a lot of listeners to this program will be immediately repelled by A, the mention of Bill Gates, and B, the notion of building new nuclear. Regular listeners will know that I'm a student of human bias, including, by the way, my own. I'm intrigued as I watch my own confirmation bias, where I am much more comfortable seek out data that supports my already held point of view, and I avoid listening to things that disrupt my point of view, things I literally feel uncomfortable in listening to. Further self-disclosure here, knowing this about myself, I take an effort to listen to points of view different, sometimes radically different than my own. It's not a fun exercise, but unless I want to be permanently stuck in my own little ideological bubble, that's what I've got to do. So part of what I'm suggesting here as we talk about TerraPower, nuclear power, Bill Gates, kind of check out your own thought processes, your own emotional responses, and evaluate them as to whether they are, let's say, reality-based, or whether they're just simply a reflection of how much easier it is to listen to stuff that we already agree with. So when we talk about nuclear power, there are several concerns that immediately bubble to the surface. So those would be things like nuclear accidents. We can think of Chernobyl or Fukushima. There's radioactive waste disposal, and there's nuclear proliferation concerns. And then there's just simple costs of how much does it cost for nuclear generated electricity, and of course a worry that nuclear stuff will get in the hands of terrorists. All of these things are rational concerns that need to be faced up to and addressed, of course. Let me say, however, that the perfect and trouble-free energy system does not exist. All sources of energy come with environmental and human costs. Right now, we're blithely supplying 80% of our nation's energy with fossil fuels. And as I speak, someone somewhere in the United States is dying from fossil fuel pollution. And as we continue to pump carbon dioxide out into the atmosphere at unprecedented rates, unprecedented in the 3 billion year history of the Earth, people now in the future will be dying just from climate change and related issues like droughts, floods, wildfires. So an irony that we blithely burn fossil fuels while looking at a fuel like nuclear power askance, concerned about safety, and as such, turning our backs on that carbon-free source of energy. Well, not exactly turning our backs on it. The United States produces about 20% of the total electricity via nuclear. We actually produce more electricity from nuclear than any other country in the world. Per capita, France is the biggest one. They get 75% of their energy from nuclear power. And of course, quick inventory here. When was the last time we heard about a death from nuclear energy in France? Well, never. As a species, it's interesting to take a look at to study what we fear and what we don't. So just for instance, we're perfectly fine with 35,000 or so people dying on the nation's highway. Most of us get out on those same highways on a regular basis, and we don't think much about the deaths, but they're there, bunches of them. So we just figure, well, it's a cost of doing business, not going to happen to me, et cetera, et cetera. Yet a four-year-old gets bitten by a shark on the Atlantic coast somewhere, and for weeks, people won't go in the water for fear of a shark attack. Those same folks that drive up and down the freeways, perfectly happy to face those risks. So we don't do a good job of choosing what we're afraid of. Same's true, in my view, about concerns about nuclear power. Once again, the caveat, there's no source of energy that doesn't come with risks and potential or actual deaths. Hardly anyone has died anywhere in the life of the nuclear power era, whereas literally millions of people have died from pollution from fossil fuel burning. And hydro accounts for a measurable number of deaths also, that they come primarily from failures of hydro dams. In an apples-to-apples comparison, the likelihood of dying from a hydro accident is about 10 times greater than the likelihood of dying from a nuclear accident. And those comparisons are based on historical nuclear, not the next generation nuclear that appears has increased the level of safety by new designs and new concepts of generation. And speaking of Fukushima, yes, that was a disaster. But guess what? There was only one death attributable to radiation poisoning from that disaster. Of course, there were plenty of other ramifications besides just death from radiation, but that's a way of measuring the death rate from nuclear versus fossil fuels, and as far as that goes, hydro. As we're speaking of hydro, by the way, the safety record of nuclear is about the same as the safety record for wind and solar. As I said earlier, there's no source of energy that doesn't come with its human costs. No one has a magic wand, of course, but the simple fact is that if we could replace all of the fossil fuel instantly with nuclear power, the world would be magnitudes better off than it is right now. So let's talk about TerraPower a bit. That's T-E-R-R-A, power. It's a nuclear reactor that's being designed in Bellevue, Washington, right close to home here. It's a class of nuclear fast reactors called traveling wave reactor. Now, it's going to get a little techy here. I don't expect anybody's going to glom onto what I'm talking about right away, so I'm going to encourage you now and towards the end of the program to go and do your own research. This subject is so important that it's important for you and me to know what we're talking about. And if we're for or against, we need to know why we're for or against rather than just based on our own ideologies. Okay, a traveling wave reactor such as TerraPower that's actually contracted to be built in Wyoming on the site of a former coal electric generating plant. It uses mostly waste material from existing nuclear reactors. This is one of the most powerful and important aspects of TerraPower's traveling wave reactor. The majority, about 90% of the fuel that's used in these reactors is lying around right now in the form of nuclear waste from the old generation nuclear power plants. And once fueled, these reactors can operate for decades. They don't need to be refueled regularly. And there are other features that you can dig up for yourself that make the reactor like TerraPower safe and efficient, non-carbon polluting, and it provides energy production and storage for times when solar and wind aren't able to keep up with the demand. So, of course, the intermittency of solar and wind is a major concern, and that energy is not always created when it's needed. And the way our system works is that electricity is produced as it's demanded. So the facilities that produce that electricity have to be flexible. They have to be able to react to sudden, quick increases or decreases in demand for electricity to keep it all balanced out. The TerraPower type of reactor is well suited for this kind of purpose because it stores energy in the form of heat. Molten salt is what it stores the energy in. And so while wind and solar is providing all the energy we need, that's great. The nuclear power plant can be storing energy in the form of heat. And when that energy is needed on a particularly hot day with no wind, let's say, then that energy can be taken out of the heat and electricity can be provided to meet the demand. Now, there's a lot of good evidence that there's enough wind and solar and hydro in the world to provide all of the world's energy needs. And I don't doubt for a second that that's true. The issue is, what are we going to do in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years? And the likelihood of having enough wind and solar out there to cover all of the world's energy needs in that time frame is just not going to happen. We do need to have some kind of baseline energy source to take care of the times as we build our solar and wind resources to fill in the gaps when those resources aren't able to take care of the demand for the electricity. Once again, really asking you to dig in and find out what's actually going on with the nuclear power plants that are proposed into the future from here. And if as you listen to me, you find yourself mentally pushing back, rebutting, I invite you to ask yourself, is your pushback based on thoughtfulness and examination of data, or is it based on previously patterned thought processes? And by the way, I include myself in that group. I mean, it's just how we are as human beings. So hard to transcend our habitual ways of thinking about things in the light of changed circumstances. So if you have reservations, even strong reservations, about nuclear power, I can certainly relate based on my long-held opinions regarding nuclear, opinions that have changed in the last couple of years as the breadth of our climate emergency has become painfully clear, and at the same time, the lack of our appropriate and adequate responses as a species has always also become painfully clear. And through all of this, keeping in mind that what we're talking about is replacing fossil fuel energy, a form of energy that comes with untold costs in terms of human life, compared to a clean and carbon-free source of energy like nuclear. And I'll just finish up my little talk about nuclear, looking forward into the future here, by saying that there's nothing out there that's perfect. There's no energy source that does not have some aspect of concern associated with it. At the very least, we need to understand clearly where our opinions come from, what they're formed by. And I guess I would add to that that we need to constantly be reevaluating, updating our opinions. Living in a representative democracy such as we do, our opinions, our collective opinions, are what directs how we do things. So pay attention to where those opinions come from. You do that, I'll do that too. Okay, just a little kind of general political talk here for a second. The 2022 election is going to be critically important. Having said that, I gotta believe that the elections in the United States for decades to come are going to be critically important as we face unprecedented challenges, unprecedented to us as a species, really. Most of us here in the South Puget Sound are represented both at the state level and at the federal level, and actually at the city and county level also. We're represented by folks that are pretty awake when it comes to concerns about the climate. But there's huge swaths of our country where this is not true. Even though we're residents of Washington State, we can make a difference in some of those other places. So I am urging you to get online, do some internet searches on things like Get Out the Vote. You could do a Google on Stacey Abrams, too. She has got to be the world champion in motivating people to vote, getting out the vote, understanding the politics of situations in a very clear way, and also having an amazing ability to articulate the vision that she has for expanding the franchise. And if we expand the franchise, that basically means that more people are going to be aware, they're going to be voting for the future and getting out the vote, expanding the franchise, encouraging people who are concerned about the environment to vote. Folks that may not vote sometimes is critically important to our future, so take a look at that. Well, that's it for today. I think that, we can do this. Is the outcome guaranteed? No, it's not, but we can do this. It does require our hard work. In the meantime, I'm reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.